You're listening to a podcast from 702.
First, we look at a story of South Africa's dualistic two-world economy in one country, the glaring realities of inequality and the tensions that then tend to play out as a result of this inequality.
You're with Azania Mosaka
on 702.
So today on the open line, we're looking at a story that was unfolding largely last week. There was you can think of it as a quick summary of how an upmarket suburb full of ratepayers, then they get new neighbors who've hijacked a home, who have not signed up to their agreed upon rules of coexistence. And these neighbors have hijacked a particular home, and the homeowner has been trying to get them evicted. So it's the case of the illegally occupied house on Bompas Road in Dunkeld West, number 21 Bompas Road. It's an interesting case study, especially when you see a pattern that has of suburb residents being quite concerned. I've been seeing a lot, not only where I live, but I asked a couple of friends who live in other areas, and two or three of them actually said, yeah, they've had the events of last week have triggered some kind of conversation amongst the residents and neighbors where they live, which is a completely different suburb to mine. And so this is the story of the vacant house that's being illegally occupied and the ensuing issues such as health hazards and tensions with neighbors, and so on. So hijacked buildings are not just in the CBD. So we saw the High Court in Johannesburg ordering that a group of people who were living illegally in a property, number 21 Bompas Road, that they were unlawfully evicted after the eviction took place on the 6th of April, that they can return to stay there for now. And this was because the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa, SERI, which is a non-profit human rights organization, had come to their aid. And so they continued to live there. About 55 residents at 21 Bompas Road are living there. They have erected structures, of course, utilizing the buildings that were there. But many of them, of course, have precarious work. And as they say, they live there because they are in desperate situations. And the organization that came to their aid, one of the attorneys joins us now, that's Khuliwe Bengu, an attorney at SERI, that is the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa. Khuliwe, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania. Thank you for having me.
Yes, lovely that we could get just insights, because you came to the aid of these residents, and the work that the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa does, as I was saying, you're a non-profit organization. You work with communities, with social movements, with individuals and other non-profit organizations in South Africa. But tell us briefly what it is that you do. What is the main focus of your organization?
So, Azania, our work is divided into three thematic areas. The first one is securing a home, which is aimed at ensuring that people are not evicted from their homes unlawfully. We also assist people with sales and executions. The second thematic area that we have is what we call making a living, where we assist people in the informal sector, such as informal traders and waste reclaimers, as well as the domestic workers, in ensuring that their rights are protected in the work that they do. Mm-hmm. And then we have the thematic area of expanding political space. And most of the work that we have done on this is to protect community leaders who are being silenced because they're trying to protect the rights of everyone and themselves. And mm-hmm. some of our work on the thematic area has included defending students during the FISMA fall protest since 2016.
Yes, and so your involvement in this particular case speaks to the first two pillars of what you do, the theme, the thematic areas that you focus on. Tell us about the residents of the property whose rescue you came to.
So, as you correctly put it, this case speaks to both thematic areas, the first two that I mentioned. So on Wednesday, we were approached by the waste reclaimers who were outside the pavement of the property in 21 Bompas Road, who had just been evicted the previous day. and explained to us that they've been evicted and their story background living on the property and that they had nowhere to go. So they asked us for legal assistance. We then requested an order that had led to their eviction for us to see the basis on which this order was granted and if it was legal for them to be evicted mm-hmm. under the circumstances.
And you found that it wasn't legal, that the homeowner, in fact, in carrying out the eviction, had misunderstood the court order. The court order was now saying no more occupants can come onto, can start living on that property. The court, the South Gauteng High Court, kind of put a limit to the numbers of people who can live there.
So, Azania, I wouldn't say the owner had misunderstood interpreting the court order. The owner had an understanding that the people living on the property, in the photos are next to the papers going to the court in mm-hmm. February when they sought the order, there are pictures of fully occupied structures with people hanging their clothes on the washing line. Yet the owner, in approaching the court, said, I want to evict people who are invading the property. In the last 3 days, there's been people who are coming onto the property.
Right.
The owner said nothing about the people who were already in occupation of the property. And of course, as it usually is the case with these kind of court orders that are granted via interdict, trying to bypass the past application that is set out in our law, the court grants the order not knowing that there are people already in occupation. And then that court order was used to evict people who were already in occupation. But the order was, when you read the order was supposed to remove unoccupied and incomplete structures, not people already in occupation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is what then led you to being able to secure the continued occupation of the residents.
Exactly. So we approached the court late Thursday and filed papers requesting to be heard on Friday, because as any, it's already established law in South African law that if you want to remove someone who's unlawfully occupying your property, you need to get a court order. And before that court order is granted, the judge hearing that matter needs to satisfy themselves on who those people are and what the situation would be. And if that order will lead to homelessness, that eviction order can't be granted until the municipality has provided alternative accommodation for those people.
Yes, yes. I mean, we've seen these types of cases in the past, especially the idea of the, and we're starting to understand, we got to understand the idea that is within the law around the prevention of illegal eviction and from unlawfully, what is it, the Act, Unlawfully Occupied Land Act. So the PIE Act, that's it. So what is the future for these residents?
So because this application, the order was an interim order, and there's a return date for the 3rd of May to finalize the interim order. What will happen after the order? On Friday, the occupiers were restored back. The sheriff said the order on the owner of the property and other parties that were cited. But now the occupiers, Sally representing the occupiers, is going to file a notice to oppose and then answering affidavit for the interdict not to be finalized, because if the interdict is finalized, it's going to result in unlawful occupiers being homeless. And it's not this is not an application in terms of PIE. So we're just trying to avoid the same situation we had last Tuesday.
So if you win, what does that mean? Would it mean that the residents get to occupy this property indefinitely?
It doesn't mean that they get to occupy the property indefinitely. It means that the private property owner needs to follow due process in terms of the PIE Act, bring an application in terms of that act, cite the municipality as a respondent, because the municipality is the person with the constitutional obligation to house these people if they are rendered homeless by an eviction.
So you're saying they're entitled to written and effective notice of any proceedings that would involve the eviction?
Yes, and they're entitled not to be evicted without an order authorizing the eviction. That's why we're able to go back, because that order did not authorize the eviction. That order authorized an interdict from invaders who are coming onto the property, and that is not the occupiers.
Yes. So we're going to be speaking to Councillor Martin Williams of Ward 90, because obviously he speaks on behalf of the residents in that area. But clearly where there are competing interests and priorities between the neighbours in the suburb, how should, and of course the occupiers of this property, how should these competing interests be balanced?
So, Azania, that is the duty of the court. I mean, it's always been the duty of the court where evictions are concerned, because one would speak of the private property right, owners' rights in terms of Section 25, and then at the same time, unlawful occupiers have their rights in terms of Section 26(3) of the Constitution. And that is the balance that needs to be struck by the court when they have all the relevant information of both parties. Mm-hmm. What is said about this case is, everyone has accepted that illegal evictions are inhumane. They should not happen if it's happening in the CBD. But now, because it's happening in the fancy suburb, it seems everyone wants to bypass the law and have shortcuts around the law. The law remains the same. Human rights and constitutional rights remain the same, regardless of where you are located in South Africa.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Khululiwe, for unpacking that. We are also going to take your reaction from our listeners, 011-883-0702, attorney at SERI, and she's been leading this particular case, Khululiwe Bengu. You can also give us your thoughts, 072-702-1702. Now we speak to Councillor Martin Williams from Ward 90. Councillor, thank you so much for joining us. So this is, I'm sure, no doubt, has been one of the biggest tests in your role as a ward councillor.
Yes, it's been occupying my mind for quite a while. I first asked the city to go and investigate the property and open a problem property file in March 2017. You know, that was shortly after I became the ward councillor. Yeah.
So what are the issues? What are the concerns of the neighbours?
Well, for the immediate neighbours, it's noise, you know, and questions of environmental health, safety. There was a body found there in 2018. It was well reported. There's noise, drinking, that sort of stuff. And obviously, people in that area are concerned about the value of their property and so on. And they have been complaining to all the various entities, including the SAPS and the JNPD, environmental health and whatever. We've been trying to do lots of things about this property.
They've been conflicting reports because some say the residents have lived there, or this property has been occupied for 17 years, and some say for 2 years.
Yeah, I think just because people say on TV, I've been here for 17 years, doesn't mean that that's true. I first went onto the property on the 22nd of March in 2017, and there were two people there. It was the middle of the day, so people might have been elsewhere. And while I was there, someone else came on the property. The investigation that I asked for was only conducted a couple of months later, in June, in fact. And there seemed to be a few more people on the property then. So actually, these claims about people being there all that time, I definitely can't confirm them.
Mm-hmm.
According to a lawyer that I spoke to about this matter, he says the title deed talks of vacant occupation in 2011-2012. So I do have reason to doubt that a whole lot of people can say they've been living there for 14 to 17 years. But that is an issue, but it's not the central issue.
And the central issue is just really around what you cited earlier, health and safety concerns.
No, it's not. I think I agree with you that this is a test case. And the lawyer who you had on previously, I've actually engaged in by email and whatnot recently, and she made a very good argument on ENCA on Saturday. I think after asking repeatedly, I only received the original order on Saturday morning. And reading through it, I agree that it doesn't appear to be an eviction order. Certainly it wouldn't constitute a lawful eviction. It doesn't comply with the PIE Act. And I have a column in The Citizen tomorrow about this matter. But I think the central issue here is who is going to after the people who are removed from there if there is a lawful eviction. So on the in November last year, a guy called Lucky Sindani from the group's from the city's Group Forensic Investigation Service, GFIS, told the Sunday Times this, quote, "It is the constitutional obligation of the applicant who wants to evict any occupants to provide alternative accommodation," unquote. And so the city is saying, "You, if you're the owner and you want to evict people, you must organize that." Now, on Saturday on TV and now on the radio, Kululiwe has said that they consider that the city must be cited in the eviction order, and the city must make arrangements for at least the temporary accommodation of the people who are, if any people are removed. I don't think, so I get people phoning me and sending me messages, oh, what this means that the private property isn't protected. I don't agree with that. I think we can work our way through this, and I think between the different lawyers, I can see a way forward. If we get an application by the owner, but citing the city, and if it is indeed the case that the city is constitutionally obliged to provide such a temporary alternative accommodation, then the owner can get his right to his property back, the neighbours can be satisfied that it's sorted, and the people who've been evicted or removed, they'll be sorted as well. So, I mean, it can cover a proper legal arrangement, can settle and balance all these different interests. So I do think there's hope on the rise, and if people can just come to some general agreement. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing those insights. It's a case we're going to continue to watch, because I'm sure you're well aware that what's happening there has also caused a stir in some conversations and beyond Dunkeld.
I've got others in the ward, and I know of many around, you know, in the northern suburbs, where people have settled on the property that isn't theirs, and then other people are charging rent, you know, people who aren't the owners, and so on and so forth. We've just received today a presentation, which is not for public consumption yet, about how GFIS is supposed to deal with this, and we'll be, you know, going to that. But in the meantime, this is a live case, and I do hope we can reach the kind of settlement that I've mentioned, where it's agreed, it has to be agreed who is going to look after the people who are removed from that property.
Well, Councillor Williams, thank you so much. Councillor Martin Williams, just giving us an update, because just because it's no longer in the headlines doesn't mean there aren't things happening pertaining to this particular case. And we'll also keep coming back to them, as it is a live test case that will, I think, also remind the city of their obligation. And as Kululiwe said, the law is there to cover all these bases. However, there have been failures along the way.